My name is Paul Funk. I'm with the Agricultural Research Service. And I'd like to acknowledge the support of the Propane Education and Research Council, other Agricultural Research Service labs, and State University Research and Extension Centers. Also, the cooperation of individual growers such as Don Cameron. It's been these collaborative relationships over the years that have made this project such a pleasure. We first started talking about how to prepare for harvest without chemicals because the general sense in the population at large is that ag chemicals are dangerous, the farmers are trying to kill us, and we're concerned that there might someday be either new legislation passed or a more restrictive interpretation of existing legislation. Air quality issues have also come onto the radar screen since then. And currently, there are people that try and produce cotton without chemicals because they're trying to get certified as organic production, and also sustainable cotton where you just voluntarily reduce the amount of chemical use. So in support of that type of production, and people that are adjacent to other sensitive crops where the use of defoliation chemicals may be restricted, we began this work. And after we started this work, we found there are other advantages to using thermal defoliation as opposed to chemical. And one of them is harvest timing. You can make better use of your harvest equipment, and you can make better use of your harvest labor because you can pick the cotton the next day. It helps with late season sucking insects such as aphids and whiteflies, and it's independent of weather. It's possible to defoliate with heat when the wind is blowing, and also when the weather is either cold that night or rainy the next day. This isn't a new idea. This has been around for about 40 years. But the people at Oklahoma State University that were working on this in the late 60s, they had problems with their machine being very slow in the field. It's basically an oven on wheels, and it took a long time for the heat to diffuse through the cotton canopy and do its work. We hadn't heard about that when we first got started in 2000. We experimented with steam. The weight of the boiler and the water in the water tank and the cost of deionized water were all seen as disadvantageous at that time. But we did discover that heat is a very effective way to terminate the cotton crop. In 2001, we began working with hot air. And to overcome the difficulty Oklahoma State University people had in the 60s, we used a high-velocity air. In our laboratory, we sort of narrowed in on what temperature and time it took to defoliate. And we worked on improving the air velocity without harvesting the cotton prematurely. High convective heat transfer would allow us to travel more quickly through the field. This is our first test bed, which was a treatment tunnel that cotton went through that communicated with a hot air plenum through a series of nozzles. That allowed us to get hot air into the cotton canopy. The cold air return helped to draw it through the cotton canopy, and that improved our heat transfer. So in about 8 seconds, we can cook the cotton leaves. This experimental unit was built in 2002. It took a three-point hitch to pull it through the field, and it took a tractor to support the hydraulic power and other things that it ran off of. It also took a tractor to pull a trailer with the propane tank, and the consequence of this setup was that we needed alleyways in the fields where we did the research. However, it was very effective for discovering that it works and getting a better feel for what temperatures, what ground speeds, and what propane consumption per acre we would encounter if we were to scale it up. And that was when we discovered that even when the wind's blowing 35 miles an hour with gusts up to 70, thermal defoliation was still effective. I wouldn't want to try and fly a spray rig in that kind of weather. Because we're always treating guard rows and our plot sizes were fairly small, and because the project was successful at that point, we felt it was time to scale up to a unit that could travel independent of a towing system into the middle of the field and that would be able to get on and off of a trailer as well. We began work on that in 2003, and the amazing shop crew at the Cotton Ginning Lab in Las Cruces put the machine together in just a couple months. We pretended we were a monster garage and we were racing a hurricane to the Texas Gulf Coast. We started with a corn detasseling unit that had been used in Maryland, actually, the red paint that you see there. It already had the propulsion, steering, and cab, four-wheel drive. We added all the sheet metal that you see, the burner, the fans, the air handling, and the crop treatment tunnels, crop dividers. We converted the six-cylinder engine to run on propane so that we didn't need a separate fuel tank. When the system was operating, the burner was typically running at about half of its capacity, a capacity of 1.5 million BTUs an hour. It was a low NOx burner, high efficiency. And there were two fans powered by a 30 horsepower hydraulic motor that put 21,000 cubic feet a minute into the burner. Air coming out of the nozzles into the treatment area, we tried to not exceed 380 degrees Fahrenheit. We didn't want to scorch the cotton fiber. And our ground speed was typically in the neighborhood of 1 mile an hour. We did experiments with greater ground speed than that, but this is the one that seemed to work the best. A little bit frustrating if you're trying to do a lot of cotton, but for research purposes, it was adequate. Instrumenting the leaves, the bowls, and the lint and so forth in a cotton plant with a bunch of very, very fine wire thermocouples helped us to document the actual temperature history of different parts of the cotton plant when the defoliator passed over it. And you can see here, even though the air coming out of the nozzles is 380 degrees, the leaves never exceeded 300 degrees. But that was enough to cook, denature the protein in the leaf, and cause it to desiccate almost immediately. A biggest question people have, especially growers, is, well, how much, you know, fuel is it going to take? And this is our worst case scenario. This was a real rank stand of Pima cotton, and this included the warm-up and the propulsion, and we used 34 gallons an acre. More typically, we used a little bit under 19 gallons an acre, and at the time that I put this data together, 19 gallons of propane would cost $38. Your DEF tank mix typically costs about the same amount, and because the chemicals used for crop termination are petrochemicals and propane also, they both tend to track the cost of petroleum. And back in the 60s, our friends there at Oklahoma State reported the cost of propane and the cost of foliar chemical to be the same. So I don't expect this is going to change a whole lot. Of course, research questions, you know, does it work, first of all? And when's the best time to harvest after treatment? Open bowl percentage, yield, insect mortality, things like that we were looking at. Then we began to look at ginning and fiber quality and total field returns. We have extensive field trials to report now. There are three different states over 7 years. And we've done over 10 varieties. We've also done a non-cotton crop. It's called chili pepper, our signature crop in New Mexico. And this gives you an idea of some of the geography where the research is taking place. We did a lot of work in California, added insect mortality and cotton harvest timing out there. And in Texas, we added the bowl opening and remote sensing aspects. Leaf kill is greater than 80% within 24 hours. In most cases, almost 100%. Leaf drop is a little bit slower. Using heat to defoliate cotton is kind of like a frost in that the leaves are stuck on the plant. But because the leaves are dry and have shriveled up, it's possible to harvest within 24 hours. We compared the yield and fiber quality and other things with thermal defoliation that was harvested at the same time as the control treatment of chemical defoliation, and we also harvested the thermally defoliated cotton 2 days later. And if we had waited the extra 2 weeks, we probably would have gotten $24 an acre more because of the little bit more yield you get and a little bit more fiber maturity. But if there's a storm coming and you want to get your cotton out of the field, being able to harvest the next day is a real good thing. In fact, this season, there was a harvester following the defoliator in the field on the last day of treatment because that was a Friday. It was going to rain Saturday, and they wanted to get the cotton out of the field. So actually, we do have one observation of harvesting the same day as treatment. Percentage of open bowls. No treatment at all at this particular experiment was about the same as using a tank mix of typical chemical for the Lubbock area and using thermal defoliation alone. However, when we combined Epiphon 6 days in advance of thermal treatment, excuse me, we reached 99% open bowl. Everyone wants to know about yield. We had a slight increase, but it wasn't statistically significant, and this is using SAS proc mix. Dr. Bundy's an entomologist with New Mexico State University, and he helped us study the insect mortality. He took leaves from cotton plants that had immatures and put them in an oven in his lab for various lengths of time at various temperatures, and he found that some of the insects actually survived the temperatures that we had seen in the field. But when he went out in the field and tried to find insects in cotton that had been thermally defoliated, he couldn't find any. And we spent a little time puzzling about this, you know, how do they die if they aren't cooked? And then we began looking at the cotton and said, oh yeah, if I was a white fly and I hatched in that cotton, I'd either starve or move. Now, gene characteristics, we see a slight increase in the amount of foreign matter that's brought to the gin. There's more dead leaf in the seed cotton. However, that dead leaf tends to be very dry and crumbly, is easily removed by the seed cotton cleaning equipment at the gin. And by the time you get to the bale press, there's actually less foreign matter in thermally defoliated cotton than there is in the chemical control. Our HVI data, we had much better color grade. Leaf length, strength, micronail uniformity weren't statistically different. This was confirmed with APHIS and stylometer and fibrograph that there's no damage being done to the lint by the heat treatment. At the Clemson spinning mill, ends down were slightly decreased. All other spinning characteristics were the same. When they assessed the value of the yarn, they found a slight decrease in white specks with the thermal treatment and in thicknesses, but all other yarn quality measures were the same. So again, we're not doing any damage to the lint. Total field returns, there's no significant difference in the loan value or in the yield, and the cost of the chemical and the cost of the fuel are similar, and we'll probably track petroleum prices in the future. The one difference is going to be application cost. Flying an airplane over an acre cotton is cheaper than driving a machine through it. And we don't have good data on that. We want to get that this year, but we expect that there will be a higher cost for application. We tried some organic cotton way out in the west side of the San Joaquin Valley last season. We tried some cotton that you couldn't get an airplane in because of electric poles and urban encroachment. And this is the infrared camera looking down from 1,500 feet. You can notice here the heat treatments, a little bit more of the ground is visible because the cotton leaves have shriveled up 6 days after treatment. Remote sensing does work. We had hoped this season to have Terminator 3. We'd hoped to have it in 2005, actually, and in 2006 it still wasn't ready. And even in August of this year, it still wasn't ready. September 19th, the machine was finally loaded onto a stretch low boy and headed out Interstate 5 to the San Joaquin Valley. Unfortunately, the electronic controls weren't functional and we couldn't keep the burners lit and the fans running. It wasn't until October that the machine finally began working. When you have a module builder and a cotton picker parked at the edge of the field, you feel a little pressure to perform. And we did finally get it running. We also found out the turning radius, a little bit inconvenient. People have asked me, well, why is that machine so doggone big? Well, it's because cotton fields are so doggone big and we want to be able to do 5 acres an hour. This is cotton that's been treated with that machine. The olive green in the middle is just a couple hours old, and the brown to the right of it has been treated yesterday. Ran this thing at night as well. We're using, in that field, we were using $52 an acre for the propane. At the moment, this project's somewhat in a twilight zone as we try and figure out who owns the machine and who's going to finance improvements that are needed so that it can run next year. The Agricultural Research Service tends to focus on the research, and we leave the technology development and the profits that follow that to private industry. So if one of you in the audience here today should win the state lottery or a great rich uncle passes away and leaves you a pile, send an email to my Nigerian banker friend, and I'll give you a wonderful investment opportunity. Thank you.
All right, we got time.